We learn Lizeche Nishmas, Eliyahu ben Ben Sion, David ben Menachem Lish, and Michal Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Gittin, Paragimel Mishnah Ches. Hamaniach Peros Liyos Mafish Aleh and Truma Umasros. The halacha is that we know we have to separate Trumos Umasros from our produce. So let's say a person has a barrel of figs. So we typically would say, okay, truma is you take out 2% of the figs. You have 100 figs. You take out two of the figs. Let's say if you have and master, of course, is going to be 10%. But a person can have another barrel of figs, let's say, and that is what he's going to use to separate the trumas from masros. And you can separate the trumas from masros from that barrel, from that second barrel, on behalf of this barrel. So it's the same produce. You don't have to take out from this barrel of tevel itself, where the trumas from masros have yet to be separated. So what that would mean is that a person can now eat the figs in this barrel, eat the grain in this area, the wine in this flask, knowing that he has other wine, other figs, whatever it may be, in another place, which he's eventually going to use. That's going to be the Truma on Maser. So he doesn't have to separate anything from what's in front of him. What's in front of him now no longer has the status of Tevel, because he knows he's going to separate from something else. There's another barrel with produce or wine or whatever it is that he's going to use to do for the separation. So, or let's say the Mishnah gives another example. Most Lios Mafreshale and Maser Sheni. Person has Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni is redeemed onto coins. If you don't bring the fruit to the produce to Yerushalayim to eat, Maser Sheni, you're going to bring the coins. And he wants to use the fruit right now and eat the fruit right now with the assumption that those coins, those silver coins, are somewhere else. Those are going to be used to redeem the Maser Sheni. And he's going to eat the fruit right now, assuming they're redeemed, that those coins are over there, wherever he set them aside. And therefore, he won't have to bring this produce to Shalim. So the chiddush of the Mishnah here is, based on the theme that we discussed before, mafish alein mecheska shehen kayamim. This is not speaking about a person being alive, but the idea is he has the right to assume as a chazaka that those items are still there. That barrel of figs that he uses for his truma maser separation, or the coins that he uses as maser sheni redemption, are there. And therefore, he's allowed to eat the figs in front of him, which potentially are tevel, without separating trumas and masros, knowing that the other barrel of figs is somewhere else, and that is going to be the truma and maser on this. You don't see that barrel. Maybe those figs are spoiled, or maybe they're stolen, they're not there. You can assume there's a chazaka that they are kayamin. One interesting point here is that when it comes to truma, we usually have to separate from what we call menamukov, which means you're really supposed to separate it right where it's there. You have this when it comes to challah too, challah separation. Even if you're not separating from that dough itself, you're separating from other dough on behalf of this dough. It has to be all together. So the same thing is true when it comes to truma. So why is it okay to have this item that's all the way somewhere else? I don't know where it is. So there are two possible answers to this question. Number one, it could be that, let's say, Yontif is coming or Shabbos is coming. You don't have enough time to separate right now to minamukov to find where that is. So we allow you to do so in this circumstance, because you can't separate trumos and masros on Shabbos. So this is something that we allow you to do because Shabbos is coming melikos. Or maybe the halacha is that if you separate trumos and masros shalom and amukov, where it's far away, not right next to it, that is acceptable b'di'evet. And we're talking about a case where you did this b'di'evet. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, yeah, it's true, you can assume they're b'cheses kayyam. And what about imavdu? But let's say that barrel of figs, that barrel of wine that you're using for trumas mashas, they're lost. So, and you've been now eating these figs, drinking this wine over here, assuming those barrels over there are going to be your truma and masros. You come there the next day, a couple of days later, you see it's not there anymore. So have you been eating tevel for how long? How long were they gone? You don't know. So the Mishnah says, Harei ze choshesh me'es le'es, Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. You have to be concerned only a period of 24 hours, which means any produce that has not been eaten, let's say he used that designated produce all the way over there in the other place, or Maser Sheni coins, etc. So within the 24 hours before you realize it was missing, the halacha is that you have to have Truma and Maser separated from it again, because we're afraid maybe it was lost and that maybe it was lost to the time that you were separating. So 24 hours is the cutoff. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua says like this, you have to assume anything I took maaser from, anything I ate for the last 24 hours, so it's not masukon. We assume that trumos u'masos was not taken, and I have to take trumos u'masos misafik from that. So the Chachamim war, they say you don't have to be machmir more than 24 hours. Whatever I was mafrish before 24 hours, we assume that it was fixed, it was taken care of. But anything that's now beyond 24 hours, I have to, anything that's within 24 hours, you have to assume that that thing was gone for the last 24 hours. And anything that you ate without having Trumas U'Masas separated from it, relying on that other produce, you can't assume that it was there for the last 24 hours. For more than 24 hours ago, so maybe it was still there. Chachamim were not machmir more than that. However, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Others disagree. The Gemara brings another opinion that says no. Anything that you want mafresh is a suffix, and you have to be mafresh, maser, misuf, you have to be separate trumas maser misuffik until the time when you can actually verify that produce that you designated for trumas maser's purposes was still there. So that's a big chumrah against the opinion we see in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, another halacha, says Rabbi Yehuda something else. Bishlosha prakim botkim nesayayin. There are 3 points in the that we're supposed to check the wine. Wine that you, same idea. Wine that I set aside, and that's going to be used for trumos maasos, exactly what we said before. We're supposed to check it 3 times, times where the wine usually becomes sour, to make sure it's still wine, it's not vinegar, because if it's vinegar, then it can't be used as wine to separate trumos maasos on other wine. It still has to be the same species. So when do we check to make sure that it's not sour, to make sure that it still can be used as that designated trumos maasos? Bekadim shel motzei chag, the time of the east wind, which is after Sukkis, it has to be checked within that season right after Sukkis. When the berries start to bud, the leaves of the vine fall off and the grapes begin to appear. And then uvishas knisas mayim baboser, at the time that the liquid enters the unripe grapes. When, as the Bar Tanuri here says, in the first pshat, uchshalach luchis nechneses ugedei lebesocha, he says, when there's enough moisture in the grapes that are unripe, so you can able to squeeze some out, or when the unripe grapes are at a stage where people usually crush them and then put them in water to make vinegar. Different opinions, but that is the 3rd time. So once again, 3 times, bekademot, right after Sukkis, when the east wind begins to blow, hotas madar, when the leaves of the vine fall off, the grapes first appear, and then later on, baboser, when it's still unripe, but there's moisture in that grapes, you can squeeze a little bit out of the grapes. We begin the 4th perek of Gittin. Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph, Hashalach get lishto v'giyah b'shaliach. Person sends a get to his wife through a shaliach, as we've been discussing many times. V'higiyah b'shaliach, and the husband comes to a place where the shaliach is, meaning he goes out, this is not what he's running after the shaliach. He happened to meet up with the shaliach. Shaliach didn't deliver the get just yet. He meets him somewhere, he happens to be working at. Shaliach's in the coffee shop, so he meets him there. Oh, shashalach achar of shaliach. Or let's say the husband, sent another shaliach after him. V'amar lo, in either of these cases, he says, get shenasati lecha batel hu. Oh, the get that I gave you is batel, whether he sent another shaliach after him or he happened to meet up with him. So, says the Mishnah, harei zeh batel. The get is batel, like the husband said. And we don't, they say, wait, what's the chiddush? Well, I would have said, since he found the shaliach, happenstance, he happened to find him in the coffee shop, he didn't really have in mind to be mevatel to get it all. But he figured, oh, months better, you know what? He's going to torment his wife and figure, okay, make his, she really wants to be divorced, and now she's not going to be divorced. But he didn't really have in mind to do this at all. Why do we assume? Because we would say, well, if he really wanted to mevatel his get, he would have run on after the shaliach. All right, or and he didn't. So maybe we should say he doesn't really have a mind to be mevatel the get. The answer is no. We assume that he has a mind to be mevatel the get, even though we happen to just bump into this shaliach. We assume he had a mind to be mevatel the get, and indeed the get is batel, and the wife will not be divorced with that get. Maybe by sending another shaliach, we'd say that another shaliach doesn't have the power, the authority to mevatel the get of the first shaliach, the shlichus of the first shaliach. Now, also not true. Either way, harei zeh batel, indeed, this get is batel. And not only that, let's say the Baal didn't see the shaliach. But what did the Baal do? Kadam etzel ishto. He came to his wife before the shaliach arrived with the get. Osher shalach etzla shaliach, or he sent a shaliach, another shaliach, to the woman. He sent a shaliach with the get, but now he sent another shaliach, and the second shaliach goes straight to the woman. V'amar lo get she'shalachti lich batel. That get that I sent you, that's going to arrive at some point, is batel, is nullified. Harei zeh batel. Even in this case, we don't assume he's just trying to torment her. We assume that he really has in mind to nullify the get. Yeah, get the other though. But if the husband now informs the woman or someone on that he wants to nullify the get after the get arrived and already reached the wife's her hand, or let's say she appointed a shaliach lekabbalah to accept the get on her behalf, so where his hand has the status, that shaliach's hand has the status as of her hand, she could also appoint a shaliach. Then it's too late. Shuv ene chol levatlo. It's too late for him to mevatel. I'll say I saw it look like he was running after trying to mevatel the get. Too bad, since he didn't come to mevatel the get before it reached her hand, she is divorced.